Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear plus my friends in the third row and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Finding the right cleat can be transformative. Believe me, I've worn plenty during my career. So getting the right balance is crucial. The cleat needs to feel good on your foot, but also feel good connecting with the ball. The New Balance Furon 7 Plus is built with both of those points in mind, offering overall comfort and precise striking in the game's fastest moments. Because, as I learned the hard way, because I didn't possess much of it, speed matters in soccer. That's why the Furon 7 Plus is built for accuracy and precision at rapid pace and is engineered specifically for use on firm ground. Why is this the ideal cleat, I hear you ask? Well, not to get too scientific, but the Furon 7 Plus offers a lightweight yet supportive hypo-knit with mesh lining upper construction and is paired with offset lacing for a truer strike of the ball, which is a long way of me saying that your game will immediately get better when these are on your feet. Learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Hey, everyone, and welcome into Attacking Third, a CBS Sports Soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports. Joined today, as always, by my colleague and co-host, Lisa Roman, analyst for CBS Sports, and a very special guest and pre-birthday girl, Jordan Angeli, NWSL analyst. On today's episode, we're chatting all things Challenge Cup preview, a World Cup roster prediction for the U.S. Women's National Team. And before we get into everything, thanks for joining us. And a quick reminder to subscribe to us on YouTube. Also, as a podcast, so go ahead, follow, like, download so that you never miss out on a single episode. We're back at it with Lisa and Jordan. Hey, guys.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. Sandra, it's always good to chat with you. But special guest today, we're like in the presence of royalty. We got Jordan Angeli on the show today. And a birthday girl. Happy birthday, Jordan. Yeah. Everyone, drop a birthday emoji in the chat for Jordan.
Oh, my gosh.
Shout out. Welcome, Jordan.
Thank you. Yeah, you said that. I was looking for my crown. I didn't get to participate in that LL Reign crown photo shoot, so I can't quite find it. But thank you. Thanks for having me, guys. I listen to you a couple times a week, and I love being on here. So yeah, my last day at 36. So you guys got me right in time.
Look, I'll put myself on blast, Jordan. Next time I see you in person, I hope you don't judge me, but I definitely have a Jordan Angeli playing card. I believe it's when you're with the Breakers.
Yeah. No way.
So look,
you got to get a signature on that, Sandra.
You don't even have to pay the $5 it's going for on eBay.
I think I have a plug right here. I think we're going to make it happen. We'll see. Look, guys, I'm so excited to chat all things women's soccer with you. And we should start this off, I think, with NWSL Challenge Cup before we get into the World Cup locks and predictions there, because I'm sure we've got a lot of things to say there. So let's start with a preview of NWSL Challenge Cup. We've got midweek action going off on Wednesday. You can catch the matches on Paramount Plus, of course. Let's start with a preview of Racing Louisville versus Chicago Red Stars. We've got a Central Region battle. We've got Chicago Red Stars coming off of a win against Orlando Pride in the regular season, their first win in over a month. And we've got Racing Louisville, who hit a bit of a snag, right? They suffered their first loss in a couple of games. They went on a little bit of a run there. Some good form from this team. Savannah DeMello with a lot of breakout play. Jordan, you're our guest today. I'm going to go with you. We like to make picks on this show. I think,
and we hold you accountable to them. So just stay tuned.
Just maybe going off of recent form, do you have a winner and a loser in this one? Do you think maybe this is going to shake out to a draw?
I think that just when you look at these two teams and how teams have been playing in the Challenge Cup as of this new iteration of it, where it's in the middle of the season. We're seeing a little bit more rotation from teams, not like they're rotating their whole teams. We are seeing a lot of players play in these games. Like, I think most of the games I have had five substitutes. Like, mm-hmm. they've used their max substitutes. So they're trying to use these as ways to really get a lot of people with playing time. So when I think about that, I think of the Chicago Red Stars team, and they do not have depth. This is a team who has suffered. They've lost a lot of players over the offseason. They have some injuries that have kept people out. And I think that that's going to hurt them in this game. So I'm going racing Louisville because they do have a little bit more depth. I think of just Katlana, a player who's coming back mm-hmm. from an injury. I think this could be a really good opportunity for her to get a start and show a little bit more of, like, we've seen glimpses of the flair that she can bring, but I could see Kim Bjorkgren giving her the nod and giving, like, her 45 minutes and to run it out against the Chicago Red Stars team. So I'm going racing Louisville. I don't think it's going to be a big win. It might be 2-1. I'm going to go 2-1. Racing Louisville.
Oh, I love it. I like the scoreline prediction on it too. Yeah. Going with Racing Louisville. I respect that because I also am going to go with Racing Louisville despite their regular season loss to North Carolina. I think they outplayed the Courage a little bit in that game in their moments of possession. I'm super high on Savannah DeMello. This is a player that's going to continue to rise and continue to run with this team because of her ability on the ball to be able to switch the point of attack, to get them out of sticky situations defensively. She's almost like their outlet hot potato player, where they need to get rid of the ball. They have to get something to it. They just give it to her. She can spin out of three defenders. She can run transition and find that breakout pass that breaks lines of defense as well. Now, rotation wise, not sure how much we'll see of her. I still think we'll see DeMello though, because if I'm not mistaken, the last Challenge Cup match that Louisville played, the first one that they played, they ended up picking up a win in that, but they played most of their starters. They had a pretty good foundation. They started in the Challenge Cup late, and Kim Bjorkgren wanted to pick up points and wanted to pick up a win. So that's what he did. He played a strong squad. Now, going up against the Chicago side that is very depleted, as you mentioned, Jordan, I just think that maybe we'll see more rotation with Racing Louisville, but the combination between the different players they have, the versatility they have, and the depth, as you mentioned, is going to be crucial for Louisville. I just don't think Chicago is going to have that lucky streak in them. It was lucky that they picked up a win in the regular season.
And just to go on the back of that really quick, is they get their goal at the end of the game against North Carolina with a lot of those players in. So I think we're going to see time from Jordan Baggett, who came over in a trade. Piki Yamsa, I bet, will play significant minutes. So yeah, I think there's just a little bit more depth to this Racing squad that is going to allow them to get a good push here midweek.
Yeah, it just sort of feels when you have that quick turnaround from a Saturday to a Wednesday, or even a Sunday to a Wednesday, that the rotation, the team that can actually rotate a bit, might have the odds in their favor. I'm with you both, but I don't know if Chicago has a lot of results to say they can really shake things up in a midweek because of their lack of depth. But it's very interesting to note that the couple of results that they do have in the regular season is because they've actually changed some things around. We saw them get that draw against Washington Spirit because they had anticipated to come out to a predictable Chicago Red Stars three back. It was more fluctuating during that game. They got the 1-1 draw there, and now we got to see more of a four back from Chicago out of the recent win against Orlando. I don't know if they're going to do a different little bit of a tactical change in this midweek matchup, and maybe that could be something that gives them an advantage. Even if they do, I just don't think it's enough. But something else about these midweek matches is we've seen some of these Challenge Cup games get some heavier score lines.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like curious if maybe this is just going to be like a vibes kind of match. Maybe we'll get to see a heavier score line. And something about these central region teams when they meet up against each other. So I've actually got this one pegged as a draw for myself. So you're both going racing. I think this one's going to be a draw.
Are you going to draw if it's vibes, it's got to be like 2-2, 3-3?
Yeah, I'm feeling 2-2. Nice. Okay, yeah. Maybe Shayna Matthews finally gets back into the mix for Chicago Red Stars. She's finally off that availability report. Maybe she brings some late-game magic off the bench. It'll be fun. Let's see. Portland Thorns versus Angel City. Let's head on over to the West Coast. We've got the West Region battle between these two sides. Angel City coming off of a tough loss against OL Reign. Portland Thorns coming back to steal a point, get a draw with a late game dramatic header from Reyna Reyes. When you're looking at these two teams, Lisa, I'm going to go with you first. You got a winner and a loser in this one, or are you feeling the makings of a draw?
I am feeling the makings of a draw. I'm not going to bury the lead in this one. I think Portland Angel City is going to come out with splitting the points at the end of this one. Portland in Challenge Cup, they haven't picked up a win. They got a loss in their opening game. And Angel City, they had a loss in their opening Challenge Cup match. And then they're coming off of a draw, 0-0 against OL Reign. And as you just mentioned, Sandra, Portland is coming off late game equalizer against San Diego from the rookie Reyna Reyes. And I was super impressed with the rookies we saw from Portland and I mean, across the league. But I think with Mike Norris as the head coach at the Thorns, we're going to see a little bit of rotation from this Portland side. We've talked a lot about the Olivia Moultrie, Christine Sinclair, the champagne problems that he has there. Now is his opportunity to get those depth players that really only get to see 15, 20 minutes in a match just because they're behind some superstars in the world game of football. Get them minutes, get them significant playing time in this match against Angel City. Now's the time. You're going up against a team that in Angel City that needs to pick up points in this Challenge Cup. I think they need to get back on the winning side of things in this game as well, as they're coming off a really tough 4-1 loss to OL Reign in the regular season, despite scoring first in that match. I think with Angel City, they are a team that's maybe lacking a little bit of confidence right now, and Portland can use that to their advantage. However, Angel City, they've still got some good players. COVID protocol taking out some of their players during the regular season. I think we'll see them come back. I'm not sure. This is purely speculation. We don't have availability report yet. But because of that, I think that they'll have a little bit more emphasis in their attacking end. Maybe we'll see Junendo press up higher. We saw her in the left back position. I personally like her higher up the field. She's just much more influential in the game. So I'm going to go with the draw between these two sides. They're going to split points. Neither of them picking up their first win in the Challenge Cup so far.
Okay. All right. Interesting. I like the energy. Jordan, are you going to match that? Are you going different?
I'm not matching it. I'm bringing different energy. But I did, the first thing I had written down, and Lisa and I are on the same page, is just we don't know the availability for Angel City. It's so iffy. But I think one of the things that we didn't see is we didn't see Julie Ertz, and we didn't see Sydney LaRue, who was on the bench for that last game. So it's going to be.
Plays in a Challenge Cup?
What?
Do you think she gets her first minutes in a Challenge Cup game?
I don't know. And now that I'm thinking about it even more, I don't know if she's going to get it because it's in Portland and it's on turf.
Yeah,
so no. I don't know if she's going to, but it's a possibility because she has been on the bench. So who knows? And this is an Angel City squad who has been struggling to figure out a way to be consistent in the way that they want to play. I just don't think that they have the ability to rotate with the depth that Portland Thorns does. And so I think the Thorns at home, this is going to be a little bit of a show off for them. Reyna Reyes is going to start again, and she is going to have significant minutes and continue to show that she can not only utilize the flank, but she can tuck inside sometimes and be like an additional midfielder. She did that a lot at Alabama. So I think we're going to see more of that. But I think we might see Izzy DeQuilla play her first start in NWSL. This is a player who's come on every single game. She's a Santa Clara alum, so you know I got to throw that in there. She is just a very intelligent player when it comes to runs off the ball. If you go back and watch the goal that Angel City scored against OL Reign, it comes from a corner kick, but DeQuilla just got on the game, and she the Thorns scored against late in the game against
San Diego.
She just had gotten in the game. She does two pressures, like counter pressures, wins the ball back twice for her team. It goes out for a corner kick. Her work off the ball is equal to what she can do on the ball and with her runs off the ball. So I think that this Thorns team just, you said it, they have champagne problems. Mike Norris talks about it all the time. He's going to rotate. It's going to still be a very solid performance for them. And I think they're going to run away with this one.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jordan. I think Thorns at home are going to pull it off. I think the depth is too much. I think between them and the Reign, they're it fluctuates week to week on who is the deepest team in the league, honestly. And yeah. No matter what, it's always out of the Pacific Northwest. I just think Crystal Dunn has been in outrageous form. I mean, we'll see if she actually gets a start in this one or is brought in off the bench, because again, midweek rotation is a factor. I mean, the last time these two teams went ahead, we got that wild, wild draw, and Julie Ertz did play in that game. Although I don't know, I think as the World Cup comes closer, I think it's about not only managing the minutes, but seeing where you can get them. And I don't know if Challenge Cup is going to be that type of match. And it's evident that the caliber of player that Ertz is and what that team looks like when she is available for them versus when she is not, you could see it's a stark contrast. So I'm going with Jordan on this one. I'm going Thorns as well in the midweek Challenge Cup game against Angel City. We've got one more pick to make, and we're staying on the West Coast. San Diego Wave FC versus OL Reign. Jordan, I think I got to go with you first on this one because folks might hear you.
Yeah.
Call for this game. What are you thinking so far with these two going head to head?
Well, I think that this might be our chance to see Melanie Barcenas get her first start. I really do. I think this would be a perfect time to just because of how Laura Harvey also has been approaching these Challenge Cup games. I think Casey Stoney has said she wants to build this young player up in the right way and give her opportunities. So we see her come in when San Diego's down some goals. So they needed to press for her goals. That's when she made her debut, and it gave her the freedom to really be who she is. I think this game is going to give her the freedom to be who she is and show some of the creativity, but also her work rate off the ball. So that's my number one thing. I want to be on the call when she gets her first start. She is a special, special player. Yeah. And I think that's what I think of right away. It'll be interesting because you just mentioned it, Sandra. This OL Reign team doesn't matter if they rotate. They're really deep. In their previous Challenge Cup game, they started Shea Holmes, a defender from University of Washington, and Ryan Brown, an outside back. Brown plays right back, and she plays it like Sofia Huerta. I thought Brown was the best player for OL Reign the last time they played in Challenge Cup. And I would imagine she gets another start. Harvey was really high on her performance. So I think I'm going to go with a draw on this one.
Low scoring?
No, I think it's going to be 1-1, lower scoring, but both teams are going to score. I think it is going to be just a solid Reign performance. They're going to have really good moments, but they're going to rotate and we're going to see just their depth. But from San Diego, I think we'll see some of these players who don't always get starting minutes, but I think Korniak will get a lot more minutes, who's a starter for this squad and help them centrally. Sierra Enge, who's had a lot of minutes. She might play center back. She actually was a center back too. So I could see her giving one of their center backs a little bit of rest and rotation. But I think San Diego is going to put on a show at home, Snapdragon. How cool is that place? They have done such a good job. So I think the vibes are going to be high, but it's going to be a 1-1 draw.
I like that. We all picked a draw in one of these games, at least. But I'm going to go a little bit the other way, Jordan, because I think this game is going to be high scoring. Sandra mentioned it for the Louisville Chicago. She thinks it's going to be no defense, all vibes, all goals. I'm kind of feeling that for OL Reign and San Diego because of the rotation we're going to see from both sides. I'm with you. I would love to see the young player Barcenas get her first start, get a goal, right? Or at least be part of a goal scoring opportunity. Whether it's the counter press that helps her pick off the pass that then contributes to the goal. Not sure, maybe she'll get her own one, but Cambreros as well, I'm looking at a different thing. But with the San Diego side being at home, as you mentioned, I think that does give them the advantage. And I'm going to give the Wave the win and Casey Stoney the win over this OL Reign side. But we're going to see a lot, I think, from OL Reign. I think they're going to put up a couple goals. I think that was the emphasis for Laura Harvey's team over the last week or so of training, not just getting shots off, but quality opportunities and making them find the back of the net. And it took them a little bit to get going versus Angel City in the regular season. But once they did, it was bam, 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 four goals. Now, of course, Megan Rapinoe contributing to a majority of them, getting three assists in that game. I think we'll see rest from her, but that doesn't take the foot off the gas pedal for this team and the rest of the players that had been in training and feeling that emphasis of finding the back of the net. So I'm going to go San Diego, but lots of goals.
All right. I respect it. I'm not hearing enough about the coaching matchup between you two, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what Casey Stoney is going to bring against Laura Harvey and vice versa. Look, it's the cooler battle. We'll see them both perched on their appropriate throne, probably overseeing what is being played out in front of them. And look, I was really nervous. I thought I almost saved my draw for this game as well, but I'm going to go with the visiting side. If there's something about Laura Harvey and how she is taking on this Challenge Cup and its current iteration, how it's kind of playing alongside and concurrent against the regular season and kind of trying to use that to her advantage a little bit and maybe get those extra minutes for players who are not, who are kind of, you know, part of that big depth that we've been talking about. So I'm looking for a low scoring game. I'm with you, Jordan, on that, but I'm going to go with Rain to get the breakthrough on it. So we'll see. We'll talk about if we were correct or incorrect, and we'll let everybody know when we do the recap of these games.
But we're have all very different picks, which is a good thing. I like when that happens. Fun.
Gotta have the parity, right? Even on the show. Even on the show. We bring it all the time. We'll take a quick break and don't go anywhere, because we're gonna chat all things U.S. Women's National Team World Cup roster. Stick with us.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Via have conjured magic on the way to a seventh Europa League final, where they face UEFA trophy specialist Mourinho and his experienced Roma side in Budapest. Catch the UEL final this Wednesday with coverage beginning at 2 p.m. Eastern on CBS Sports Network and streaming on Paramount Plus. You love to see it. We love to see all of the soccer on Paramount Plus, baby. That's what we're about. let's pivot from club soccer. Let's talk about a little thing happening this summer, the World Cup. We are going to start getting final 23 player rosters from 32 participating nations. We already saw the teaser from the Lionesses. They're going to drop a roster on the 31st. And so, you know, we got to thinking we should definitely do our official USWNT roster prediction show. And we should do it when we have Jordan on as our guest. So we're excited. I'm excited to have us go through this and see what similarities we have and maybe some, you know, differences across the roster. 23 players. Okay, let's maybe start with that. There was some back and forth about whether or not this was going to be a 23-player roster, considering just, 6 months ago, we had the men's version of the World Cup with 26 players, and FIFA said, not for you. It's going to stay at 23 players, despite some collective energy from national team head coaches. So we're locked in at 23, and we've got to spout off some goalkeepers, spout off some defenders, some midfielders, some forwards. And we'll see what you guys are thinking, what you're feeling is the best group and collecting of players for the United States women's national team to go on into Australia and New Zealand. Lisa, I'm actually going to go with you for this one. We do this typically by position. Last time we had a similar episode to this, we actually did a stock watch. We were taking a look at who was trending up and who was trending down on the basis of club play, because everything that came out of that final international window in April sort of had that push. Like, now this is, we've completed our time together in the build up to the World Cup. Go either continue your form and keep up the good work, or work on A, B, and C, right? There were two groups of players that we heard were given some different instructions. So when it comes to the goalkeepers, let's start with positions here. We know there's typically three that are taken to a World Cup. I think maybe this is also possibly the easiest position for the three of us to take a look at. Who are you taking to the World Cup, Lisa?
Yeah, I think goalkeepers for the United States, I mean, we've seen the same three players being called in for the last year. That's Alyssa Nair with Chicago Red Stars, A.D. Franch with Kansas City Current, and Casey Murphy with North Carolina Courage. I think we're still going to see those three being called up to the World Cup, despite maybe some recent form. I mean, Sandra, you and I have talked a lot about A.D. Franch and her yo-yo of a season that she's having with Kansas City at this point, splitting a lot of time with her goalkeeper counterpart, Cassie Miller, with the Current, based on performance, says Caroline Quablum, and based on getting results. And we've seen a lot more time from Cassie Miller. However, A.D. Franch has the experience with this team at the international level. She's been called in a lot. She's not the number one goalkeeper for this team. And to have that depth and that veteran experience that Franch brings is still going to be crucial for Vlatko Ananovski. I still think Alyssa Nair is going to be the number one, especially after the Chicago Red Stars Orlando game that she just had, becoming the NWSL all-time saves leader, keeping Chicago in that game, allowing them the win because of her shutout and her incredible saves. So she's still my number one, but these are the three I'm going with.
All right. Any disagreement on your end, Jordan, for those
things? I do.
Let's go.
I have a disagreement.
Drop it.
I don't think A.D. Franch is making the team.
All right.
She is one of the best people, I think, in this group. Just such a kind human being. And I really care for her a lot. But I think it's going to be Aubrey Kingsbury.
You do?
I think Kingsbury, because it's your third goalkeeper. I don't know how much the previous experience plays into that. I don't personally know. I think you want to make sure the three goalkeepers you're bringing are playing, feel confident in their play, and can step into a game situation and say, I can nail this down. I would say if one of those two, between Kingsbury and A.D. Franch, was like all-time penalty kicks,
right,
we might see that be like really good in penalty kicks. I think we would see that just be the decision there. But I don't think that there is we know enough about that to say, okay, this person's better than this person.
Though Aubrey Kingsbury only has one cap, she hasn't been called into any of the camps in the last year, I'm going to say.
That's just my opinion. That's what I think. I'm going Kingsbury because I think she's been playing well. I think she is on a team with other players that are going to be on this roster. Mm-hmm. A lot of other players are going to probably be on this roster. I just think that her cap is not going to matter. I don't think we're going to see the third goalkeeper anyways.
No.
But I think that if we would have to, she is in the better form because she's playing every week.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I think that's an interesting and valid point to bring up. There's going to be some depth within each position that you look at a certain player scenario where you're just like, are we really going to get to this point? And maybe this third goalkeeper is probably one of the more obvious of those selections. So I hear you in the sense where it's like, why not go with the goalkeeper that is kind of on a hot streak at the moment, has good club form with their team, will likely have teammates on this U.S. Women's National Team roster. All of those boxes can be checked off. But I think on the other side of that coin, you can also make that argument for someone like France. And the other side of it, you're just like, well, if it's really about a player who might not actually see the time,
that's where I'm going. Yeah.
Why don't you have the player that's been there before, knows what to expect in terms of your day-to-day preparation throughout this month-long highly intense tournament, have the player that is already familiar with the routines along the way with this team over the last year or so. I think there's a lot there. I think there's like literal, it's the same coin. It's like, you're just like making the same arguments for like the, totally. The same player though. So it's interesting to sort of hear that, because I can promise you, you're not the only one. I'm sure our chat is saying,
our chat's blowing up with Kingsbury.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So I'm into it. But I'm going with Nayer Murphy in French as well. I think when it comes down to making that final roster, this national team program, no matter who's been at the helm and the head of it and the coaching staff, has often relied upon and fell upon the experience factor when it comes to making the selections moving forward for this type of roster. So I've enjoyed watching Kingsbury play this incredible return and rise of form with this Spirit side in 2023. It was something that we saw in 2021. It's what earned her the call-ups back then out of that championship appearance, you know, and season with the Spirit back then. But it's unfortunate. I just hate that it comes down to timing, right? And the window of time for things. And that's kind of what it boils down for me. So I've got Nayer Murphy in French. We should definitely show some love to Murphy before we pivot to the
defender.
We're like, I think we're all sort of in agreement. We're just like, Nayer's back in and she's the lock at number one. And maybe there's some differences at number three, but in terms of who your number two is into this World Cup, I think we're all in agreement that it's Murphy all the way.
And I think we'll see her. I think we'll see the second goalkeeper in some of these group play stage games. I just had Murphy's last game for North Carolina. Her ability with her feet adds a different level to this North Carolina team. Sean Nahas realizes that. I think Vodko realizes that. She is so good with her feet. I still do think she's the second goalkeeper, but when she's in, I think she's going to have, she's going to give a lot of smiles to people the way she can distribute out of the back.
Yeah, she'll be another safety net a little bit for the center backs and being able to join in the possession and bring out. I agree, Murphy's the second one, and we will see her, and it won't be a drop-off in goal.
All right. So here's a question to pivot maybe out of this and go to defenders. Game one in this group stage is going to be against Vietnam. And then they've got Netherlands and Portugal on the horizon. Who are you starting in game one?
That's the question.
Give me the name. Give me the name.
It's so confusing, right?
I'm starting Nayer. I'm going to go with it. It's the World Cup, despite the competition being maybe not as intense as it'll see. Vlach Wenanowski is going to start his A team. In the first game of the World Cup, he's going to come out guns blazing. Maybe they'll only play 45, right? Maybe we'll see a big rotation. But I think it's going to be a statement, and we're going to see Nayer start and the full A team.
All right. How about you, Jordan?
Statements before, right? From this team at the World Cup. That's where it's confusing, because that would be the game that you would start your second goalkeeper.
Right.
It's the first game of the World Cup. So I think if the U.S. start Alyssa there, start their first goalkeeper in the second game, if you win two games in your group, you're through.
Yep.
So then the third game against Portugal, I think it would be a great for Murphy to get a start in there. But you have to take care of business, because if you don't, then I think it switches everything and you keep Nayer trying to go get that result in the last game. So, yeah,
I love it.
Did it
I love it.
Guys, we're going to have so much fun this summer.
I'm just here to have fun right now with these picks. I'm throwing thoughts on you guys and questions. Let's pivot to defenders. We love to chat all about the back line and defensive shape of this team. When it comes to your locks, I went with Lisa for the goalkeepers. Jordan, I'm going to go with you to kick off defenders. Who are your locks? Who are you taking to this World Cup on the defensive core?
Okay, I went like center backs, outside backs.
Okay.
So center backs, Alana Cook, Naomi Girma, mm-hmm. Becky Sauerbrunn, mm-hmm. even though Becky Sauerbrunn has not played in the last five games for mm-hmm. the Portland Thorns.
Yeah.
I do not know the update with that. I don't think a lot of people know the update with that. We are less than 2 months out. Mm-hmm. If anybody can do it, it's probably Becky, but, that is interesting, because I think that adds a lot of, there's some question marks just with the health of this squad.
Yeah.
So then I put Emily Sonnet in that group, because I thought, okay, Sonnet can play three different positions. She can play center back, she can play outside back, she can play as a six. So I think I put her there just to be like, all right, That's my group. And then outside backs, I have Emily Fox, Crystal Dunn. I know I'm going to get pushback on that. Sophia Huerta and Kelly O'Hara, who has questions as well.
It's Jordan. We're doing what we think will happen, not what we want to happen. So you're allowed to say whatever you want. That's how we qualified here.
That's my group of defenders there.
All right. How about you, Lisa? Do you have a lot of similar names on your list?
I've got incredibly similar. Dunn, outside back. Fox, outside back. Huerta and Sonnet as well. And then Sauerbrunn, Cook, Girma as my center backs and my bubble player in this group. I know we're going to talk about that a little later, but Davidson. But that's my solid. I got seven core defenders that I'm bringing that have been outstanding. I know you just mentioned Sauerbrunn not playing, but even if Sauerbrunn is 50%, you're still bringing her. So she's on my roster.
Yeah, no, I feel that 100%. I think I really do think that's part of what we're seeing right now in club play. I think we're not being given specific updates for a reason. It's just these players are going to be ready when they're ready. And sometimes that means just before the World Cup so that they can get a couple games in going to the World Cup. I think there are certain players across this roster that you can absolutely circle and say these are absolutely players that need to be on the plane to Australia and New Zealand. And it's 100% Becky Sauerbrunn who fits that equation when we're looking at certain players that could go to this roster, despite missing a handful of games already with what apparently is a lingering foot injury. But at this point, it's not just your most experienced center back and defender. It's your team captain. This is someone who needs to be on the plane going to the World Cup. I'm with you guys on the selections for Cook and for Girma. I've said it multiple times, I think, over the course of the last 18 months on this show specifically, that Alana Cook has simply been the absolute healthiest option at center back position for this team moving forward. I know that there has been some lapses sometimes or dips in form, as there has been for every player, I think, across this roster potentially. But I don't know if that's enough to just say keep her out and not take her. I think at this point Cook is a lock for this World Cup roster, and I would say that Naomi Girma, despite her return into this national team camp after making some appearances in ID camps as a very young player, has really just sort of played her way. I mean, her form has been ridiculous stemming back to her rookie season. And I think maybe San Diego were trying to tighten up some things in the beginning of this regular season, but they appear to have gotten back on the right foot. And a lot of that has been because of Girma and her positioning. And I think she's done enough as well. I'm with you, Jordan, in hearing the backlash on Dunn on this defensive side of things. I mean, look, we all love to see what she's, you know, producing for the Thorns right now in midfield. And if the coaching staff finally sees the light, and maybe they surprise all of us and say, hey, actually, we're going to shift her into the midfield court. I don't know if we would actually be surprised by that. Maybe we would even welcome it, you know, but
I don't think they'll switch her like on the roster, but if we see her play midfield, like, right, she adds that depth because she 100%. Can play.
They're pushing. I think they would. Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to take Kelly O'Hara. I need to take her off because I actually forgot somebody on my list, and I'm just looking at my list and I'm like, wait, I need to switch that. So you're going to laugh. When it's the person that I tell you it is.
No, I want to hear it now. Switch it.
Oh yeah. Kelly's coming off, but it's an attacker. It's an attacker I'm putting in.
So you had O'Hara on there as a lock, and now you said, you know what, I'm actually going to scratch
her. She's bubble.
Okay. All right. I respect it. Well, I'm going to keep O'Hara as a lock for me. Because again, I think just like we talked about with the goalkeepers, about the coaching staff kind of relying on the experience and kind of nabbing the player for the lock with the experience. She's got not just one, but two World Cups under her belt with this program. So I think she's a lock as well. I want to see Huerta on this roster. I want to see Emily Fox on this roster, but I don't know if we will.
No, really? She's going.
I don't know if we will. I really don't know if we will.
She can play left back. She can play right back. She's stepped into this team and she's proven that not only can she contribute when it's more of an attacking game for the United States and send crosses into the box and be a threat, whether it's cutting inside or taking it end line, but she can also defend. No, she's gone.
I think the move from racing to North Carolina Courage is actually really put a lot more pressure on the coaching staff to finalize their defenders. I think at one point during the during this last 6 months in the buildup to this World Cup, maybe we had our defenders like as kind of like the easier locks. And over the course of this club play, I think it's made it way more difficult. I think if it's difficult for us, it's got to be really difficult for the coaching staff. And I think this is where it comes down to these fine margins. I think it's going to come down to game scenario and game management. What is the coaching staff going to value in these game specific moments? Are they going to value an outside back that is more, you know, valuable in the attack? Are they going to value more of a center back esque type of player that you need to lock things down, you know, in 1v1 narrow game situations? Who is that player that they want to take? So I'm very curious about who it's going to be. I want to see Fox on there, and I do have her as a lock. And I think when it comes down to those game specific kind of game management scenarios, I'm actually looking between two defenders in Chicago. I don't know if it's going to be Davidson, and I don't know if it's going to be Kruger, but I think if you're looking at club play, Kruger has had the more breakout and standout club play for this team. And if we're looking at recent form, she's finally showing that she can absolutely be an asset in that attack as well, despite everything that we've heard from Edinowski as claiming her as the best 1v1 defender in the world. And when it comes to taking in games, I can tell you that Andonovsky has been to several Chicago Red Stars games to date, and he is keeping an eye on things. So I've actually got Kruger not on the bubble. I've got her going on the plane to the World Cup.
Wow.
Yep. We'll see.
I mean, I think Kelly O'Hara hasn't been healthy, so that also is a big question. There's health questions, I think, in every single line. But you have her lock, and you have Kelly O'Hara lock too. So interesting, Sandra.
I think Davidson has shown that she's healthy and capable to play. And she's got a World Cup under her belt, unlike some of these others outside backs that we've listed in Huerta and Fox.
True, but I personally think that Kruger and Davidson have been very inconsistent.
Yes.
And I don't think a lot of that, I think part of it has to be them, but they're also coming back from major, major things, having a child and an ACL injury. It is going to be up and down. It's just, it's too bad it's up and down right now.
Absolutely.
To me, Davidson and Kruger are both on the bubble. Davidson is probably a little bit closer to the roster than Kruger to me. Sandra, how many defenders do you have? I wasn't counting correctly.
I've got 8.
I thought so. Okay. Interesting.
I love defenders.
I know you do. Me too, all right, bud.
I have 8.
Who loves midfielders? We're going to talk about those now. Let's chat a little bit about who we're going to see in the midfield for the U.S. Women's National Team. You both had a shot to go first, so I'm going to go first.
All you.
My lock for the midfielders, of course, I've got Lindsay Horan. I've got Christy Mewis on there after this incredible run of form with Gotham FC. Andy Sullivan is going to the World Cup for me. And so is Rose Lavelle, and so is Julie Ertz, despite, again, we're talking about players who are working their way back to form that we have not seen for a number of time. I think similar to Becky Sauerbrunn, these are two players that you talk to and say, make sure you just feel right so that you get on that plane. Lavelle and Ertz are going, and I've actually got Ashley Sanchez in my midfield as well to go to the World Cup.
Same across the board. I got all the same ones.
Me as well.
Oh, let's do this.
I was three positions,
but we finally agreed on one.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? I think there's room for bubble conversation in this particular position, and we'll definitely talk about that. So since we're all on the lock for 6, give me so that we don't just jump into fours right away. I want you guys to give me your reasons as to why Ertz and Lavelle are your locks, despite not seeing the recent club play.
Because they're Julie Ertz and Rose Lavelle.
Drop that mic.
I think Rose Lavelle is, I mean, she's going no matter what, right? If there's certain players that you can look across the United States Women's National Team roster, and if they are only 60% healthy, you're still taking them. I think Becky Sauerbrunn is one of those players. Rose Lavelle is one of those players. Julie Ertz is one of those players. You look at Ertz playing in the Tokyo Olympics a few years ago, she was not 100% to play, and she still played the majority of the games and helped them win a bronze medal. That's exactly it. And I think that these conversations that Vlatko Andonovski is having, not only with the players, but with their club coaches, is on the conservative side for some of those players, Rose Lavelle, Julie Ertz. If they're feeling a bit of a knock, maybe they don't need to push it. And that's why we haven't seen them a lot of times in games. Get them recovered for the World Cup, because they're going to have a really hard, tough time playing come June and July, or coming July and August.
Rose Lavelle has been out, what, almost 2 months now?
She hasn't played since the first April friendly against Ireland in April.
So nearly 2 months. Mm-hmm. That's 3 months at the end of June. It's 4 months at the end of July. You do not need Rose Lavelle in this midfield until knockout rounds. You do not need her. Yeah. So can you work her up into fitness, into whatever is going on, to make sure she's ready for those? Because she performs when it's on the line like nobody else, I think, on this team. And then Julie Ertz, it's amazing just with the number of games she's been back, how each game there are little moments where you're like, whoa, she just did that better.
Yep.
She just did that better. She just got out of pressure, connected. She juked somebody, switched the point of attack. There's moments where you're like, she knows what to do, but now her body is catching up with her brain, which takes some time. And she's going to be fine.
And you need depth at the sixth position, right?
Up until this point that she has. So
exactly.
That, like, dog.
Love it. I love it. All right. So I really love that we've got six in the middle and they're all the same players. I 100% love that. We did not plan that for everyone who's following along in the chat. That was all live on air, natural reaction. Let's talk about our forwards in this one. Jordan, I'm going to go to you because you're our guest and it's your birthday tomorrow. Who are you taking for your forwards to the World Cup?
I kind of have a lot of forwards.
Let's go.
And remember, I took O'Hara off.
That's right.
Remember,
okay? If you get an extra slot, we'll give it to you.
I'm going
to
go straight away. Ashley Hatch is the first one I had in this. Alex Morgan, Trinity Rodman, Sophia Smith, Alyssa Thompson, Lynn Williams, and the person that I didn't have on my roster. Megan Rapinoe. Sorry, Megan. I don't know how to put your name on there, but you'll be in there. But I also think she's one of those, like, she's been so inconsistent with injuries that it's a hard one to be like, you're definitely playing. But if she, I think Lisa has said this many times, if she's available, she's going. So that's a big group. But that's my forward group. And I just see goals. That's all I see.
Totally. All right, Sandra, how is yours looking compared to Jordan?
I mean, it's pretty similar. There's a player that I've gone back and forth on a lot. So I guess we'll just talk about it in the bubble. But I think it's funny that Jordan said I put Hatch first. I put Rapinoe first for that reason, because I was like, I better not forget Megan Rapinoe because she's going to the World Cup. So I got Megan Rapinoe.
Like me.
Yeah, I put Megan Rapinoe first on this list because I was like, oh my God, I almost almost forget. And which is funny because we're literally just talking about recent form, and she's coming off of a game where she just became the fifth player in league history to record three assists like it's nothing. And I'm with you, Jordan, on, you know, in terms of the form and building up into minutes. You know, we saw it was kind of a real slow burn for Megan Rapinoe at the beginning of this season, but she's getting the big chunks of minutes. I think when it really matters most for the national team program and the buildup to the World Cup, I think her inclusions on these national team camp rosters in the past have looked a little bit different in terms of her role and what it's going to be for this team. And I expect that to be the same energy going into this World Cup. I don't know if maybe they start Megan Rapinoe in that game, in that opening game against Vietnam, to just sort of see where she's at on the international level, because she was a player that didn't see a lot of international minutes as the team was sort of wrapping up things in 2023 during those international windows. So maybe this is a player that we know is going to be on that plane to the World Cup, and maybe she's one of those attackers that does get the start against that first group match. But I'm also looking at the other veteran, and Alex Morgan going on that plane. I think you absolutely have Sophia Smith. The coaching staff has said that this is a player that they wanted to build that attack around. I think in light of losing Mal Swanson, Trinity Rodman is absolutely on that plane to the World Cup. She's a player that can maybe fit a similar profile if you're looking for kind of that like-for-like swap and someone who isn't afraid to play on either side of the wing. 100% for Lynn Williams on that plane. There's just no way she's not she's going to miss out on the World Cup. Not only is she back in form, but this player was a preferred player for Vlatko Andonovski when he first took over this national team program. She is probably what you could consider a prototypical Andonovski player for the system and that he wants to have moving forward. So the fact that she's just getting back into starts and racking them up, she's going to the World Cup, and I am torn for the final slot between Alyssa Thompson and Ashley Hatch. I'm going to go Thompson.
Because you have all those defenders in there.
I do have all those defenders. I'm going to go Thompson for now just because I want to have an X factor, and I think Thompson's going to do that X factor for the team moving forward. How about you?
I respect that a lot. I think that over the last several months, since the January camp, since at the end of last year, the November windows, I've had a number of players that have been on my lock since then. Yeah. Alex Morgan being one of them, Trinity Rodman being one of those for me that for a long time she's been going. Lynn Williams, since she came back, she was a lock. Sophia Smith, Megan Rapinoe as well. And then, of course, Mallory Swanson. And unfortunate to Mallory Swanson, she has suffered that patellar tendon rupture. She will not be there. And then watching the form of the NWSL, Alyssa Thompson was my replacement. Not like for like, but my replacement in terms of, okay, Swanson's not going to be there. Who are you bringing in? Who are you going to have step up? And watching Alyssa Thompson seamlessly transition into the NWSL and playing with Angel City, she looked like a professional from the first five minutes of the first game that she played. And that's a transition that I was a little nervous for her. As a young 18-year-old, there's two ways you can go. You can be young and naive and still rock the show, or you can be a bit have a bit more maturity and have a bit more professionalism towards your game. And I think that's what we're seeing with Thompson, which makes her a national team player in my eyes completely. So she's on this plane no matter what. Another one that's been a bit of a bubble player for me, but is on my roster, Ashley Hatch. I think at the start of this year, she was not on my roster based on her play with the national team, rather her lack of play, her lack of minutes, and her lack of being able to do much when she got on the field with the national team. Finish, yes. That her job is to finish. Her job is to find the back of the net. And she wasn't doing that. So to me, it was like, okay, we're going to take other players over top of her. Now, despite injuries towards defenders, midfielders in my roster, and Hatch's most recent form in with Washington, no, she's not. I mean, in my eyes, she's not being the best player on the team. But I think her ability to play with Rodman, with Sanchez, with Sullivan elevates her status. So Ashley Hatch is on my roster.
Mm-hmm. All right. I like it. We're having some fun with the attackers. And I think this is a good transition because it sounds like we've got some players that we really think still have a shot, but are definitely on that bubble. I'll ask you both your bubble players right after a quick break.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
All right, let's close out the episode with a couple of bubble players. I'm going to ask you both, maybe for, give me three, because I think we can quickly whip up three. Lisa, who you've got on the bubble with a little bit more to prove before this roster gets announced?
On my bubble is Tierna Davidson, defender out of Chicago Red Stars. I think her inconsistency on the pitch, playing with the Red Stars and their back line. She's coming back from that ACL injury, and she's one that I think is going to have those conversations with Vladko Vanhanovski about what she needs to do and if she's called up and on this roster, what her role is going to be, because I think it's going to look a lot different than what she wanted it to be and what it would have been pre-ACL tear. She's one that is a very big bubble player for me, but close to actually being on the roster, depending upon some of the other shifts that happen on this roster. Do you want all my bubbles right now? Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Go
on. Another one, Kelly O'Hara, just based on the injury level. She's one that I think Vladko Vanhanovski would like to bring based on the fact that she's been in these positions before, her experience, what she can bring. But if she's not that healthy and she can't get minutes and she's has this nagging injury that she can't shake, I don't think it's worth it for him to put her on a plane. I'd rather him bring Elissa Thompson and have a little bit more firepower in the front line. So Kelly O'Hara for me, a bubble player. And then Korniak and Kruger are my other bubbles that are like big bubbles. Like, okay. I'm not really sure Taylor Korniak is going to make it on this World Cup roster. She's coming back from injury. She's still getting minutes picked up. And I don't know who she would knock off of this roster, even though her name has been called in over the last year or so with this roster. And she's kind of found her groove since the CONCACAF W Championship with them. And then Casey Kruger, another defender that got called up most recently in April. And we saw her get good minutes. She is a very good lockdown 1v1 defender. She's been to a World Cup before, so she has that edge. But I just don't think you bring her over someone like an Emily Fox, even like an Emily Sonnet, who brings a bit more versatility, being able to play center back and outside back and maybe even the six, but I doubt it.
How about you, Jordan? You got similar players or anyone different?
I have very similar players. I think the biggest bubble spot for me with the roster that we've decided upon, there's a number of players who can shift into that center back position, but not a lot of players who can shift into the outside back position. Mm-hmm. Even if you think maybe Crystal Dunn needs to go into the midfield at times, who's filling those outside back spots? So I think that's the biggest, O'Hara or Kruger. Those are the two that I'm like, I could see them. I could see Vladko going with one of those two. My biggest bubble player, and it was really hard for me not put this player on the roster, Jaden Shaw.
Right on.
I want Jaden Shaw on this team. I don't think it's going to happen, but I am obsessed with how she plays. She can play as a false nine. She can play as a attacking midfielder. She can even play on the wing. So I just think she is a little bit free. And, you know, I think as players develop, you develop more thoughts and how to play, but also it restricts you from just feeling the game. And I think she feels the game really naturally and pops up in the right spots. I would love to see her in this mix with some of these players and to see what she could do. If she goes to the World Cup, I will be so happy. But it's going to be hard for her to get in there. So it's not a player that I think has been on the bubble at all, but just due to form and how fun she has been to watch, I want her on that plane, Sandra.
I respect it. I really do. Listen, I think we were all curious a little bit when it came to the Youth World Cup. Like, are we going to see Jaden Shaw? And she's actually getting those minutes for club right now. And it's because Casey Stoney said she's essential.
Yeah.
To the way that's the caliber of player that she is. And so I'm with you 100%. It's almost kind of like maybe, you know, we could have seen her in some camps to really kind of give her a real kind of bubble shot at this. I think maybe she's a long shot bubble player. Yeah. I hear all the arguments for, I hear all the similar arguments for, you know, for Hatch and for Kruger, even Davidson, I think at this point. I mean, I would actually consider Sonnet a bubble player at this point. I think just because of how we've seen her play for club, I'm very curious about what that's going to mean for this roster. Does, you know, the switch in position for the Rain mean that the national team coaching staff wanted to see some things in the middle third from Sonnet because they see her playing a different role for the national team program? I don't know. We'll see. Again, another one of these players that was on the 2019 World Cup roster. You know, Casey Kruger, I got her as a lock, but I respect the pick for the bubble. I think those are all very valid points and arguments. I mean, this is a player that has been with the national team program for quite some time, despite making her return back from pregnancy and the birth of her son. But, you know, this was one of those players that was with the team in Tokyo, so has international experience with this team, you know, and knows the expectations of the coaching staff, and those things are maybe some things that the coaching staff can look at as well. So, I mean, I think you have even a spectrum of the bubble here. I think you've got players who are on the bubble that actually really do have a shot to knock some other players off and get held into and cemented into that roster. But I think you've got some other bubble players who we can look at and say, unfortunately, time is just run out on the clock.
And some that are our hope to go. I'm with you on Jaden Shaw. That would be, she's not going. I don't think I would love to see that. I think you're exactly right. She's just done so well. If it was maybe a couple months ago, and she could get a camp under her belt, I would love to see it. I would love to see it.
I just want it. I want it. So I'm choosing it.
I like it.
I love it.
I like it. Sometimes we have the power here, but usually we don't. Not at all. I'm interested. A lot of people in our chat talking about this. And sometimes I just like to entertain the fans because it's fun to see reactions. No Sam Coffey on either of your bubble. Is there a reason that she's not on there or just hasn't really given you enough and that spot's kind of already filled?
Just, I think for me, just the tip of the coach's hat. I mean, I think if Coffey had a place on this roster, we would have seen more in the decisions from the coaching staff, and we just have not. That's not to say that I don't think she hasn't warranted conversation around her inclusion on this roster. She absolutely has. And it stems back to her play in 2022 with the Thorns, and that includes this chunk of months in the buildup to the World Cup now. I think she's probably the most consistent six that you can see playing in women's American domestic soccer. And that's quite a compliment to give such a young player at this point in her career. So I'm eager to see Sam Coffey with this national team program out of this World Cup. Had we seen this player get selected and chosen for starting lineups, getting more play under her belt with other preferred midfielders and even other preferred attackers in the mix, I think she would have been listed on this bubble with a shot to make it. But unfortunately, the coaching staff hasn't shown me enough that they are actually in serious consideration to put this player on the roster.
I would have liked to see Coffey against some of the bigger teams in the world when the U.S. had played teams that are going to challenge her a little bit for her, how much ground she can cover. I think with the ball and her distribution and I think just sometimes her positioning is a step behind when it comes to defensive covering that type of ground. And in a single pivot, it's a lot. And so I think she's still going to develop. And I think that sixth spot, when you talk the next cycle, there is not a lot of players coming through that sixth spot. So if I was a player right now in the youth level, I'd be like, okay, there's an opportunity here, because even in the pro ranks, we're not seeing a lot of sixes.
No.
So just a thought there. Yeah. I think Coffey has a really great shot. I just think development will be great. And I'm sure we'll see her a part of it coming this next cycle.
Yeah, I'm with you. I love it. This was so much fun. I love doing stuff like this. We always love to have the predictions in every way, shape, or form. And of course, we'll be back to see if we were correct or incorrect. Jordan, it was great to have you on. And we're going to see more of you in the future, because Lisa is got some news to share before she exits the show.
Yeah, this was so great, Jordan, to have you on. I am headed out for a couple shows, but Jordan will be here taking my place, and that's why we had her on to get everyone ready for all her fantastic analysis. I'm finally getting married. It's about time. I've been engaged pretty much the entire time we've done this show, Sandra. I got engaged right before the Tokyo Olympics, or right as they started. So it's finally happening, and I'll be out of the office, of course, keeping an eye on games, but I won't be back until the middle of June. So thanks, everyone. It's always been great. And Jordan, thanks for filling in. You are a joy to work with, and I know you and Sandra are going to have so much fun without me. I can't wait to listen and hear all the great analysis you guys bring.
You are going to have so much fun. We're gonna have a really good time, but you're gonna have so much fun. Congratulations. We're really excited for you. And I've got big shoes to fill, but I'm gonna do my best and have a good time with Sandra. So congratulations, and enjoy every moment of it.
Yeah, we'll miss you, bud. Well, you know what? We're gonna hit you up for photos, and we're gonna want to see all the cool stuff that you're up to out of the office. But we'll hold it down here for you. Don't worry. You. Everybody, put some bridal emojis in the chat for Lisa. Yeah. Let her know you're happy for her, bitter for Wella. But that's it. That's a wrap for A3. That's all we've got today. Thank you all for joining us and listening to Attacking Third. Download, follow, listen to us anywhere you get your podcast. Leave us a rating and review. It helps us out so much. Subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/Attacking Third. And we'll be back with so much more. So stay tuned. For Sandra Herrera, Lisa Roman, and Jordan Angeli, this was Attacking Third.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.